pray for Fran's representatives in the military and our commander-in-chief.
Men and women, the ones, Lord, that are in the military in active duty right now, Father, we just ask that you would protect them with your angels, that you draw them closer to you, that you would just woo them closer, Lord, that they would have a vital relationship with you as they are serving. And in harm's way, many of them, a lot of them, Lord, even here in the United States, Father, but we just ask for your protection upon them. We bless your name, Father. And Father, right now, I just lift up to you President Bush, and I ask, Lord, that you would give him wisdom and peace and protection, Father. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for their protection as well. Their peace, Lord. Their relationship with you. Father, I pray for his counselors, that you would give them godly wisdom, that they would speak forth truth, Lord, to our commander-in-chief, that he would be able to base his decisions upon true facts and the true reality of what's happening in the world. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your protection. I give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Gerald. You may be seated. I imagine that all throughout the Second World War and the First World War and any other war we've been involved with, that God's people have been praying. We want to keep at the forefront of our minds that our sons and daughters, husbands and mothers from this nation and other nations, are right at the cutting edge of this thing. And we want to be careful to be diligent on their behalf. We're asking God that not a single representative of this congregation will fall in what is sure to be a conflict very soon. Well, we're approaching the end of another one. It's just a few hours away. Can you think you'll make it? You know, this has been quite a year. This is the time of year where we stop, look back over our shoulders before we look into the future, and we just say, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And there are many wonderful reasons for us to rejoice in this present year. One of the things I'm particularly grateful for personally are the many tribulations I've had to face in the year 2002. Count it all joy, brother, when you fall into various trials and temptations, knowing this. Sun's going to come up tomorrow, whether you're ready for it or not. But it's been a good year of challenge for me personally, and it's been a very demanding year, mentally and physically and emotionally. And I'm at the point in life where I can begin to say with real gratitude, thank you, Lord, for your keeping power. You know, there's a number of us associated with this congregation who have been saved less than 2 weeks. Others less than a month. Others less than 2 months. Some of us many decades. And there's something about developing a history with God that allows you to see Him in a fresh way as you go from decade to decade. I want us to take a look at a passage of Scripture this morning. And then I'm going to turn the microphones over to you. You're going to give us a testimony of God's faithfulness to you in this year, something that He's done that has been particularly edifying or encouraging or miraculous intervention, or the faithfulness of God day in and day out. Now, there's a psalm that David wrote that recounts the journey of God with His people in Psalm 107. And they speak about many things, and there's a refrain throughout, "Oh, that people would give testimony to His wondrous works." Psalm 107, 19 and following reads like this. Then they cried to the Lord of their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent forth His... word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. And let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. There are many things for which I'm grateful. One thing I'm particularly thankful for, and it's not just a, this is not a suck up moment for me. I'm genuine about this. I've got a friend here this morning, Pastor Bob Boyduck, his wife Mary, and half of their children. That is two of the four, not that they have, you know, the bottom part of one, top part of another, no. Pastor Bob has become just a dear and precious, precious companion of heart for me. And I'm grateful to have him visit with us. And after over a year of pursuit, he's going to come and share the word with us one Sunday morning coming up in March, I believe it is. But, yes, amen. Bless the Lord for him. After many years of frustration, the Lord has just opened up some magnificent relationships with some of the other pastors in this town. They enjoy one another. They pray for one another. They fellowship regularly. And our heart attachments have grown out of that forum and those bonds. I'm going to read an entire chapter to you today. It may be that you didn't get a chance to read any Bible this week, but we'll read it today, 2 Samuel chapter 22. Before I do that, I want to kind of set it up for you, because this is David's song of praise. And, you know, David had quite a little journey with the Lord. Some of you are familiar with his story. But he went through a lot of stuff. And by the time he gets around to writing this particular passage, which is also found almost word for word in Psalm 18, you know that he had been through a few things with the Lord. He had a testimony with God that was unusual. Now, this particular composition is set, that is, it's written between David's war with the Philistines, as it's recorded in chapter 21, and then his list of heroes in chapter 23. And what's interesting to me and so encouraging is that when David's guys got together, they weren't heroes. They were the discontented, those who were in debt, those who were despairing. And they were hiding in a cave with him. But when David required that those men turn their eyes toward the Lord made of them what's come to be called the mighty, David's mighty men. Now, in this particular poem where he is celebrating the providence of God and delivering him from all his enemies. How many is all? There you go. Every single one of them. God is a faithful deliverer. And so as David is beginning to speak his words of praise, which are recorded here, it comes from his acknowledging God in everything. One of the things I appreciate about David is even when he was wrong, he knew which way to turn. And in this chapter, as I read it to you, you're going to find David acknowledging the greatness and the glory of his Lord. In a series of phrases or designations, you're going to hear God call the rock, the fortress, the deliverer, the shield, the horn of salvation, the stronghold, the refuge, the Savior. All God's exploits in the past and all of his promises to us for the future are predicated upon who he is in his character. That's good news. When the Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, what's it telling us? Men lie, God doesn't. Ever. No April fools, no just kidding. Oh, I got you on that one, didn't I? No, God is faithful. In him there is no shadow of turning. So when we have a problem with God, who's got the problem, God or us? Well, I'm glad we identified the culprits. Now, David was a man of whom the Scripture says he was a man after God's own heart. And I believe that David is not the only one who has had a heart after God. One of the things for which I'm grateful is that the testimony of this house is the people pursue God. It's not just a religious gathering place. There's a depth to our relationship with Christ and with one another that impresses other people to say, I've never been in a church like this. My response is, I'm sorry. You know, because one of the distinctives of this house is these people chase after God. We've got intercessors upstairs right now praying on behalf of one of our folks who's in jeopardy, serious jeopardy today. And they're laboring before God with a willingness. They feel called to it. What an exciting thing. You understand? It might be you in trouble. They would be called to pray for you. And they're going to hang in there until we see the glory of God in the land of the living. Let's read chapter 22. I'm going to read it from the NIV. I'm going to go through the whole 51 verses. And I want you to hear about God in the midst of difficulty. I'm curious. Before I start, anybody have any difficulties this year? Oh, good. Good. Well, this is for you. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer." Sounds like a t-shirt, doesn't it? That'd be a good t-shirt. Now, I could, if one of y'all wanted to go in the t-shirt business, just, you know, follow my notes and stuff. You'll pick up a lot of witty things that would go on t-shirts. You could make us a lot of money. He is my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. Is that true? Do you know why you need a stronghold, a refuge, and a Savior? Because you're going to have the same problems David had. From violent men you saved me. Now, this is a good season in our national history to hang on to that phrase. From violent men you saved me. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I'm saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled around me. You ever been there? I was there when I was 13 years old. The waves of death swirling around me, and somebody came and became my deliverer. I was there in my early 20s in a submarine plummeting out of control into the depths. And somebody acted independently to save the whole ship. Death was swirling around me. I laid in the middle of a Kentucky street underneath a motorcycle as a convicted felon bear down on me with an automobile. The waves of death were swirling around me. I've been in three automobiles that were totally out of control. And I cried out, "Father!" Each time, back under control. The waves of death, you never know when they're going to come. Jenny was passing through a red light this year. In a car that somebody who dearly loves her had just given her. Somebody else ignored the signal, told her car, and she walked away. One of my own children recently was in a serious automobile accident. Walked away with a mild scratch about an inch long. It's already healed. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God, and from his temple he heard my voice. And my cry came to his ears. I have been so sick that there was no occasion to confess anything, to stand in faith. My sick prayer was this: Lord, if I'm going to be kept, you have to keep me. Ever been there? The Lord is faithful. In our weakness, his strength is made perfect. The earth trembled and quaked. The fountains of the heavens shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke from his nostrils, consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens. He came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, and the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered the enemy. Bolts of lightning routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord and the blast from the mouth of his nostrils. How many of you know when your bad guys see that good guy come and they tremble? I mean, this is good. This is a good picture of God when he's coming from behind to rescue you. It's not a good picture when he's coming at you as an enemy. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Because with me walketh the meanest Judas in the valley." He reached down from on high and he took hold of me. And he drew me out of depths of water. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. And he rescued me because he delighted in me. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Now, I know it's hard sometimes to get this picture. But you see, when God looks at you, he smiles. He does not frown.
Hello.
How many of you have ever had a child who was misbehaving and you were torn between correcting them and laughing?
Boy, you go to your room right now and I mean hurry.
Oh God, how am I going to go discipline that child?
See, when he looks at you, he smiles because he delights in you. You are a recipient of the divine exchange, his son, for you. Now, that's a precious thing. That is a precious thing. Jesus chose you. He delights in you. On your worst day, he's still your daddy. In your most aggravating and ugly moment, his heart is still towards you. He rescues you because he delights in who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, did you need to hear that this week?
Yeah, huh?
That's the way, Pastor. Encourage me more. Okay. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. And according to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. Don't panic. Because all your righteousness is as filthy rags. But in Christ Jesus, you have been given righteousness. If you've never seen a righteous person, look to your left. Look to your right. Look behind you.
Look up here.
On my worst day, I am a righteous man. In my most annoyed moment, with unkind things about to break forth from my lips, God help me, I'm righteous. Because it's not about us. It's about him. David is a picture of these things for us. And this is a great little passage of scripture here. He has dealt with me according to my righteousness. That is, he has dealt with me according to the righteousness to which he has ascribed to me. Got it? Say, I'll be righteous.
Yo, baby, I'll be righteous.
You skipped the yo baby part. I was listening. For I've kept the ways of the Lord, and I've not done evil by turning from my God. Now, who is this writing this? Who's this? Is this the murderer writing this? Is this the conspirator to murder? Is this the adulterer writing this? So you mean one or two or three acts don't do you in? Is that true? Can you sin and still be loved by God? Can you fail and still be his child? Why? Because your heart has been in that direction. How many of you know you make miserable sinners? Jesus has just ruined your own sin. It used to be fun. You can still do it. Now it's not fun anymore. Why? Crisis of conscience. You know, spirit warring against the flesh. Don't you just hate sin? Doesn't it make you feel like a fool, baby? Piper? Patty's clearing her throat in the front row. But you know what it's like to be poopy, don't you? Don't you? People look at you and say, why don't you go back to bed and start over? What is it about sin that we used to enjoy, now it just annoys us? What has God done to us? He's made us lousy sinners. We used to be good sinners. Remember? You have amnesia. No, it's healing of the memories. Listen, we used to be like a pig to slop and that stuff. And it just won't work anymore. Oh, I can do it again now. Don't you love Christmas decorations? Our gals did a great job this year, didn't they? And there were probably guys, too. I don't know. Thank you all. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. See, that's our aspiration now. We don't want to go out of our way to get in trouble. We want to go out of our way to those who are troubled. He's done that to us. We've been changed from the inside out. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure. To the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord lights my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. By the way, if I was reading this in the King James, there are about four choruses that we sing from this passage of Scripture. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for those who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? A fortress and a shield, tower of deliverance is he to all who trust him. Remember that one? He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to stand on the heights. It is God who trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend the bow of bronze. Remember that one? There it is. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend the bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and you stoop down to make me great. All the promises of God are yea and amen. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. I pursued my enemies and crushed them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them completely, and they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them. To the Lord they cried, but he did not answer. I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth, and I pounded and trampled them like the mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of my people. You have preserved me as head of nations. People I did not know are subject to me, and foreigners come cringing to me. As soon as they hear me, they obey me. They all lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. How many of you know if that was your testimony, your lips, you'd be giving some praise to God? The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, the rock, my Savior. He is the God who answers me, who puts the nations under me, who sets me free from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. Therefore I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. He gives his great king victories, and he shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David and to his descendants forever. And David is the one of whom it is said concerning Jesus, he is of the household of David, and it is said of us that we are in Christ. Therefore, we are in David and his descendants, and God shows us unfailing kindness. And you didn't do anything for it. He did it all. Glory. Glory. And now, we're all engaged in the family business. Doing good to all men, lest by any means we may win some. So what's God done for you? I'm going to count to three. I'm going to say 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Those of you with a testimony, raise your hands. The mic will be forthcoming. I haven't counted to three. 1,000. Could be Thanksgiving. It could be praise. It could be healing. It could be salvation. 2,000. Could be financial blessing. Could be God's intervention in a supernatural way into the circumstances of your life. 3,000. All right, boys. Here they are. Jim. I don't know if that thing's on or not, is it? Okay. It's not on? Sound man says it's not on. Look on the side. There should be a little glass thing that indicates power. And it's on. Okay. It is on.
The other one.
Just go ahead. Let them keep playing. It's a new system.
The new employer that the contract was awarded to called me and said that they wanted me, the customers, had asked me to come to the new contract. So I praise God that he brought me over there and all of the about 12 other employees that worked on our old contract.
Thank you, Lord.
Just thank God for his faithfulness.
It's enough to make you quit pacing in the night, isn't it? Get them back up. There.
This has been a difficult year for us, both physically, mentally, and within the family. Most of it's been dealing with myself, having to deal with letting go of teenage daughters. I've been really having a rough road, and it's been causing a lot of hardships within the family. Last week, Sunday, it came to a head. And
Chris, jump up and put your hand around that brother.
The Lord met me at the altar.
Hallelujah.
He brought my daughter. He brought my daughter Melanie and myself together. And
he did some God stuff between you.
He did a lot of God stuff between us. He brought us together. We cried together. We hugged together. We made up. And things have gotten a lot better at the house. We've got a long way to go, but things are a whole lot better.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. God's been raising children for a long time. We need to trust him in this stuff.
I got saved the first time I came here. And I believe that. He's really working on me, and I feel closer to him.
What's it been, Charlie? About a month?
I've got a couple real quick ones. A lot of you know my son Keith was over in Pakistan this summer. And the awesome hand of God that just can be everywhere. We can't, a mother can't protect her kids except through prayer. And Keith waited till he came home. And the second time he called me to tell me that, you know, Mom, was pretty bad over there. They shot rockets at us And he said one morning he was shaving and the rockets went overhead. And he said the ground shook and it was so scary. And they couldn't protect him. So within 2 days, they moved the whole base. And so God's hand was with my son. And his friend, Pat, and I'll tell you, this really brought myself to our knees praying. But his friend, Pat Majeski, was over there before him. And Pat came home this summer and he was talking to me. And I prayed for Pat a lot. And Pat said, you know, Mrs. Dobson, I was supposed to be on that plane, that C-130 that crashed, that was so overloaded that it hit the mountain. He goes, I don't know why. I just wasn't on it. They didn't pick me up. It was a hand of God.
Absolutely. That's why we're praying, folks. Give God a thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And this, the last one that I want to share with you, God has been with me my whole life. He has protected me. I have seen the face of death. And he loves me. And he protects me. He is with me in times when I'm just so alone. And November 22nd, we had four families. There were 18 of us preparing to go on a cruise, leaving the 23rd. And we all went to bed with excitement, and it was hard to sleep. But about 3:19 in the morning, I have one digital clock, I was awakened to the sound of what I thought was a tornado. It was extremely windy. And I woke up, and I heard whistling, and I was petrified. And I prayed, and I prayed for an hour, and the sound kept coming and going. And I was just scared to death, and all I knew was to pray. And finally, I guess an hour and a half, I finally went to sleep, and Russ got up in the morning, and I don't know what he did, but he came back in, he said, look out the window, and I looked out the window, and we lost a huge oak tree that, if it had hit our bedroom, Russ and I probably would have been gone, and it would have ruined a lot of people's cruise. Not only ours. It's just the hand of God. That tree was laid in a perfect spot. It couldn't have been better. I mean, if it had gone to the back, it might have brushed my neighbor's house. If it had gone anywhere on the other side, it would have destroyed part of our house. And like I said, it could have killed us. And I just woke up. When he told me that, I just started crying. And I had to go tell my mother. I had to go call her and tell her that God saved me. And then when Russ and Paul were cleaning up part of the mess, that tree, as dry as it's been, that tree had fallen and the limbs were buried 2 to 3 feet. They had gone into the ground and shot back up and looked like new little trees that were growing. And I had planted a new little cherry tree in May or something. And I thought about it on the cruise and I thought, oh man, did that tree wipe out my little cherry tree? And when I came home, that was one of the first things I did. I looked. And you know, my little cherry tree was still alive. It was just kind of caught in those branches, but not really hurt. Russ and Paul took care of that, though. They destroyed my little cherry tree, cutting it down. But it doesn't matter. But we're alive, and we can plant a new one.
It's just a little thing, but it's really important to me. The Lord put in my heart the fear that he wanted me to go back to reading the Bible often. Because we used to do it as a family, but just he said, just do it yourself. And he gave me this little daily bread book from a concert, a Christian concert I went to. So I got back into that, and it's just blessed me. And I've read almost every day since that day, and it's just blessed me so much to be growing in Jesus and reading his word.
Amen.
I just thank God that he put it in my parents' hearts for me to be able to have drum lessons with Mr. Romano. And it's been great having drum lessons with him. He's a great teacher. And I just thank God for him.
And if you can believe this... He's anointed on that instrument. God comes to him when he plays the drums. I know that's hard to believe, but I'm telling you, I've witnessed it.
the year 2000, November the 9th, I came to visit Bill in Carson City, Nevada. I had just come from the submarine reunion of Roy's. And that day, his son died in fire. His wife, who was my best friend, Evelyn, died 6 months just before then. And anyway, I went to the funeral. I found out, I realized that Bill not only was double shot, but had many medical problems. We made an agreement that I would take care of him, that we would be together 3 months to come here and 3 months back west. Well, I have to tell you, he's been through operations. He's been through prostate cancer that the doctor said he has to go through 48 treatments of radiation, but he's got so aggressive that I'm sure it's not going to heal him. He is totally healed. I said to the doctor, he's been there 3 times now, and I said, he's amazed. And I said, did you ever hear a prayer? Well, I pray constantly, and I have believed that he was going to be healed. And he has COPD, many different lung diseases, and stand up, Bill. You have to see him now, Lanny. How does he look? Praise God. His friends told me that they didn't think he was going to live 6 months after Lynn died. And they're just amazed at what how he is now.
Amen.
But it's the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Mine is just a personal testimony of praise. This last year was a really good year for me in intimacy with the Lord. I had gone a number of years and just slowly but quietly gotten to a place where we were on good speaking terms, but I didn't realize I wasn't intimate with him. I'm not even sure how it happened. It just sort of happened. I don't know, life, priorities, you know, crises management. And last year we had a fast, and I had an opportunity to start meeting with the Lord on a regular basis in a different way than I had before. And at a set time, which I hadn't been doing before, I've been hit and miss. And the Lord just has blessed me so much this year with the intimacy. And I want to bless him and praise him because I'm looking for more next year. So I don't want to not miss the opportunity to thank him. Bless his name.
I've been in bad financial situation for a while. A number of weeks ago, the Lord caused over $1,300 to come my way. Some of it early paycheck and other things. And on the last day, he caused me to have a new position at work. Some of you know I'm over at Recorded Books now instead of over at Lowe's. And I've been having a lot of fun over there, having regular hours, Monday through Friday work. And I've been in a number of places at work. I'm now doing QC work, quality control, making sure that the material is in good shape before it goes out to the customers.
I haven't had a chance to thank God and for what he's doing in my life here at this church. God has he has so blessed me by putting people in my life at school. And I've been working a lot with it's a campus ministry called Brothers and Sisters in Christ. And I've actually, it's amazing because the Lord just increased my giftings and things like that while I was there. And I'm actually leading worship at our campus group, and we have this, you know, brand new sound system and everything, so it's cool. And the Lord is just, he really spoke to me in one of the messages that I heard right before I went to school, and that my life, that right now I'm in a season to be seasoned. And the Lord's just taking out certain things and just teaching me about stuff in my life. And he just really touched me through school, and it's been instrumental. So,
well, I just want to praise the Lord from the midst of the storm this past year. And there has been a storm in our house. Barbara and I have both been struggling with her loss of ability to get around. But in the midst of that, we've accomplished so much. We've been able to help our children build their first house. We've put an addition on our house that allows Barbara to avoid the stairs, and that will allow the house to be opened again as a bed and breakfast, providing a little bit of income for me in my older years. The Lord has lifted me up at work in terms of position and honor. And I'm just extremely grateful for him, and I wait for him to break out against the storm.
Amen.
Now, just this week, I've received a message from Bishop Sergei, our friend in Ukraine, thanking us as a congregation for our support, our investment in their Bible school, helping them spread the gospel there. The Pragites who have come and ministered in their churches. Just a warm word of appreciation for the bonds that have been built between the work that God is doing in those 60-something churches in this house. And Bob and Courtney have just returned from another of those investments, and I've asked them to take 4 or 5 minutes and give us a brief on what took place.
I lost my husband to Ukraine.
Love aboard.
Praise the Lord. Hello and welcome. We send welcome from Mukachevo. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we give you blessings from God, from Ukraine.
I just said she's beautiful and awesome.
I wasn't going to tell you that. That's right. Hopefully none of you speak Russian, right? So you could tell what he said.
Your left ear is out of your forehead.
We had a terrific time in Ukraine. I just have to tell you again, we both fell in love with Jesus in Ukraine. You just can't imagine, these people are just so hungry for God. Right before leaving, you know, we had to get ready for Christmas, and we got all the things ready and all our stuff, and we got there, and these people are so unconsumed with materialism. I mean, they don't have that desire. They don't have anything anyway, so it doesn't matter. You know, we went with lots of struggles there, but we didn't even notice. I mean, when you go without water and without heat and stuff, you think, oh, my gosh. And then it's snowing outside and there's ice everywhere, and they don't clear the roads or their paths or anything. But all the women walk on 3-inch heels, and they walk right across the ice. I don't know how they all do it, but I found out something. The reason why all the men and women are always in close quarters is they always hang on to each other like this so they can walk on this ice and not fall down and stay warm. It is so cold. These people, and I mean, we're walking across the river there, and there's a hole in the river, and these women are taking off their clothes. I mean, it is minus. We're in the minuses. Yeah, but bikinis jumping into this river while the kids on the other side are skating on the river. I mean, no sauna nearby. We're talking, you know, like, this is, anyway, but I'll tell you, the people, they are so on fire for God. They are so hungry. They don't only have a vision for what God can do for them. I mean, they have a vision for the whole nation. Bob's going to tell you a little more about that. I can't tell you enough.
And they are so bonded with us. I mean, they are really, they are eager to hear what's going on in your life. Every one of you guys, see, they want to hear what's going on. What? How do they live? What do they do? Well, do they know who we are? And they're just, they feel like we are their sister church. They really do. So I just want to tell blessings and just so many wonderful stories of people. I have to tell you this one couple, and then I'll get it over. Bob and I were sitting with this couple, and it's a couple that met from two large cities in the area. And while this one young man was not saved, he was painting in a building, and the guy who he was painting for said, "See those bags on the floor? Don't touch those bags." And he goes, "Okay, now remember, he's not saved." So he finishes painting, and nobody's around, so he opens the bags, you know. And there are a whole bunch of books and stuff inside. So he steals them. And he runs back to his house, opens them all up, and they're tracks. They're real tracks. And he
gets better.
And he reads them, and he goes, now he's from the Orthodox Church, and they're, you know, they figure, oh, they're going to heaven. It doesn't matter what they do. So he figures, it's not for him. It talks about people who dream can steal and stuff. And he says, that's not me. And, of course, he's just stolen all these tracks. But he goes, so he thinks to himself, he says, who do I know that's having problems? I know. I'll give it to my friends who are having drinking problems. So he literally takes these things and starts handing them out to his friends. For 2 years, unsaved. The guy totally has no idea about the gospel, and he's handing out these tracts. It is the funniest story. And then later, a cousin shares with him about the gospel. He gets saved, and he realizes what he's been doing. And it was just, you know, it was one of those kind of things where the hand of God is working, you know, in the tapestry, but it's a real strange path. And I mean, it was just God. It was just a great story, you know. And these, you know, with American missionary with Russian tracts and handing them out. Oh, it was great. It was just great testimony, but there are all these kind of fun testimonies that you just hear. You don't, you know, you get so excited about the gospel there. But anyway, I'm going to give it to Bob. So I'll talk about it.
It's like God says, all right, does your theology say that you have to be a Christian to be an evangelist? You know, I mean, God uses this fella who's not even a Christian to, and he says, I mean, people were coming to the Lord, you know? He's not even a Christian. He stole tracts. He's handing them out. You know, God's up there going, yeah, yeah.
And one other thing, I have to say that one couple from the U.S. for $50 a month is now supporting that couple to do ministry to the drug addicts and the alcoholics in that city in Mukachevo. And he is being supported by that $50 a month. So it's amazing what $50 can do to support a whole family, you know. And they gave him a car. They did buy him a car. I mean, that's just amazing. One couple here is making a difference of a huge ministry going on.
You know, Lanny says from the pulpit time after time after time that as we partner with these churches, as we give to them, as you, whatever it is that you are donating, whether it's clothing or money or prayer time or whatever it may be, we're partnering with a group of churches that is potentially changing the course of a nation. You know, in Budapest, as we stopped there on the way over and back, they have vision to reach their community, their city, their nation. It's not just vision. They are acting on it. They are sowing seeds. Then we go into Mukachevo and Svalava and Shipka and Ushkarad, and we see people who from completely different backgrounds, yet God has brought them together. Sounds like Prague. And their vision is to affect the entire future of that region and of Ukraine. And it's a marvelous thing. As we sat with our closest thing to a guide, you could call it, a man named Vitaly, who is a retired lieutenant colonel in the Soviet Army. His job used to be in anti-aircraft. And so, of course, Lanny and I get along with him really well. We were on this end and you were on this. And yet, together, we are brothers and co-laborers in Christ. We went there for the worship. First Sunday, we got up and said we didn't have a clue what you were singing, but our hearts were the same. We didn't understand the words, but we understand the heart. And for each one of you, whatever
degree, God opens up for you to be involved in partnering with what these people are doing, the benefits that you will reap are eternal. These people have vision. These people are out there sowing seeds that are going to bear fruit that's absolutely phenomenal. And again, we could go on and on and on. One final testimony that doesn't have to do so much with Ukraine, but when we got back from Ukraine, and this is a testimony to God's goodness. We had a letter, but it was addressed to me. It was from the commanding officer of Charlie Company, 1st Reconnaissance Battalion, Camp Pendleton, to me.
Uh-oh, what's he done now?
Dear Mr. Gill, and there was an unsolicited letter from Mike's commanding officer commending him to Courtney and myself, saying, this young Marine is awesome. This is a guy that I just can't tell you how proud I am to have him in my company. And I mean, you know, we're sitting there going, 3 years ago, I wanted to kill him, you know. It brought tears to our eyes. The timing was so perfect. We're going through the box load of mail, and there it is. Very official looking thing. And just from this guy that just took time out of his schedule to write us a letter to tell us how proud he is of our son and how proud we should be of how far Michael has come. So thank you, Lord.
I want you to hold that, dear, because I have to make a depressing announcement, and then I'd like to leave on an up note, okay? Many of you know that Walter Mathis was hospitalized last weekend with streptococcus pneumonia and a serious blood infection. I've just received word they have amputated his left leg from the knee, and they're giving serious consideration to him and do something on the other foot and his hands. Now, we've got a lot of folks praying, but I want to commend him and his family to you, that particularly in these next 24 hours, God would intervene in the tissues associated with his toes and fingers. They're not receiving circulation. He got 2 pints of blood this morning before the operation. And I tried to speak with him last night, but he's fairly incoherent. He's still in ICU. I'm sorry. He was removed from ICU, placed in his own room. I don't know if he'll be back there or not. But he's it's pretty serious stuff. Had he not been hospitalized as promptly as he was, chances were we could have lost him by Monday morning. So I hate to cast a pall over us as we're going through this time of rejoicing, but this is still a serious situation. I want to implore you to join with us in praying on behalf of Walter and Alfreda and the family. Okay? Yes, dear, I would love to entertain another testimony. Well, I appreciate that, but we are taping these, and you won't reach the tape.
I'm Aaron's grandmother. I'm Pennsylvania. I'm a little hick town, and when I left Thursday, we had 18 inches of snow. I come from a little Methodist church, you guys. If we have 15 to 18 to 20 people, we're doing very well. I went there. I'm 70 years old. I went to that church since I was 17. Rachel has been there many times with Grandma to different activities. And every time Dawn calls me about Aaron, something, you know, really, really is bad, I call a couple girls in the church, and we just get together and pray and pray. And I have a brother that, well, he's wonderful, even though he's my brother. And Whenever the pastor can't get to our church, my brother gives a sermon and stuff, but he's always calling on the phone. Several of our relatives to see how this little gal is doing. And I'd like to praise the Lord for all he's done for her so far in this family. And her grandfather and I have been down here most of October, most of November, and we're here again. We try to help out. My husband's grandpa is this little girl's apple of the eye, and she'll do things for him that she won't do for nobody else or the therapist. And I just want to praise the Lord for all this.
Amen. Well, I know we have plenty of other testimonies. You saw the hands, but we're going to a close with Penny sharing hers, and then we're going to stand and pray together.
Mine is real quick. I just want to say that January 24th, this coming January 24th, will be 4 years since my husband Craig died. And I can honestly say that this year, God has restored my happiness.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to say, Penny, for those of us who love you and know you, it's evident God has broken through in your situation. I rejoice with him in that. If you have needs here today, we're going to stand and break into groups of three and pray for one another. If you need to get connected with the Lord in a living way, somebody in that circle will pray with you. If you need physical healing, God's power will come and touch you. I'm going to give you a moment or so to pray together, and then I'm going to petition God on behalf of Walter and his family. Would you please stand and join yourself into groups of three? I would prefer that you not be with family members if you can turn in the other direction. I have a single looking for a home here. They need you right over here. All right, share your petitions with one another and let's give those to the Lord.